Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy, whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage. The Magic Wand should be your go-to with powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns. It's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm here with Anderson,
hey,
and
there.
We're taking your calls about sex, relationships, everything in between. Topics include a self-sabotaging virgin, what to do when you want a threesome and your guy doesn't, separating our fantasies from our reality, and how two submissives can have dominating sex in the bedroom.
We're doing all those calls?
All this
next?
And more.
Yeah.
Sweet. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com, where you can easily subscribe to the podcast, and you'll never miss an episode again, because we do two podcasts a week. You can also subscribe to the newsletter. You can do a lot of things on the website, listen to the show, hang out. Hi, Anderson.
Hello, Em.
Hello there.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having
me. Fun.
My favorite kind of show, too, the call show.
Callers, yeah.
Love the calls.
Bringing back the calls. I love the calls. We've got some great ones lined up today, which are going to be awesome.
Offended if I say I don't want to talk to you anymore. I want to talk to the calls.
Yes.
Can we get right into it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Or do you want to talk with you and me?
Yeah, no, we don't need to talk. We need to call. I'm actually really excited, but I do want to tell people, the amazing listeners, that I love you and that it's really great if you want to follow me on Twitter.
It's true.
I should give them reasons. It's fun. Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat.
She gives great tweet.
Instagram. I have little stories going on my Insta stories. It's all at Sex with Emily. As always, you can send us your questions, email us, call us, go to the Sex with Emily website.
Text your questions to 797979. and then put sex with Emily all one word?
No, that's wrong.
What?
Dude, it's
797979.
And then text ask Emily.
Oh, ask
more.
Emily. Ask
Dude,
Emily.
Dude, maybe you
what
shouldn't talk
if you do
to me.
Sex with Emily? What happens there? They just
Nothing.
Go into oblivion.
No it one goes into them? Oblivion. And
Does
they'll
it really?
Eat, yes.
But it's
if you text
7979,
ask Emily one word, you automatically get a reply right. that is a link to send in your question. Do it right now, Anderson.
I'm going to test it right now.
While you're testing that, we're going to get to the calls, though, you guys. I'm so excited for today's show. Let us know what you think of it. We're doing a lot of different kinds of shows. We've got guests, we've got callers, the emails. And I love hearing from you and getting your questions, but also let us know which shows you're enjoying, okay? We love you. Thanks for being here, Anderson. This is going to be fun. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Thank you so much to our sponsors. Thank you for supporting them. You know, I only talk about products and services that I use.
Sign off on.
And that yes. I use, I sign off on, that I love, and I hope you love them too. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be right back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Okay, now we're really on to your calls. If you do have a call, like I said, you can text me. That's really easy. You can also just go to the website, sexwithemily.com, click on the Ask Emily tab and send your question that way. And then there's a little box today. Like we said, it's a call show. You can check the box and say, yes, I'd like to be called. And we will set that up for you. But whenever you email me a question, just please include your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. And we can't wait to hear from you. We're excited. Okay, we have William. He's 28 from Maryland, and he says he's a self-sabotaging virgin. Hi, William. I'm here with Anderson.
Hey, Will.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Can we call you Willie?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Feels more comfortable. How you doing? I'll call you William.
I'm doing great. I'm doing great today. A little nervous, but yeah.
Oh, it's okay. Just take a few deep breaths. We're happy to be talking to you. So tell me a little bit about what's going on.
Overall, I mean, like I said, when I wrote to you, in a nutshell, I'm a 28-year-old virgin who's never been in a relationship before. And at this current state in my life, that really shouldn't be a problem. But I am so used to being the person who I once was that I tend to self-sabotage any relationship or any connection I attempt to have.
What does self-sabotage mean to you, Will?
I mean, for one, I always tend to make excuses. If I feel like something is getting serious or getting around that route, I panic, and not literally, well, sometimes literally, I run. And
who is the person that you were before? You said you was based on how you used to be.
Oh, yeah, extremely depressed. I was a very depressed kid, didn't really have much friends, didn't really know who I was as a person. I was just very lost. Got my life together, and I honestly, the per- like I'm not the person I once was, but the insecurity is definitely okay. still there.
So we got to work on the insecurity. Right. Okay. So now we've created, you know, and you're like, okay, so I'm self-sabotaging. Every time I meet someone, it's not going to work out. And you have all these, you know, feelings that you're just, it's like a comfortable blanket. It's like what you know, like that's your story. You're the virgin and you can't meet somebody and you're afraid of being rejected and all these things. So we have it all laid out for you. So we know what that is. And so now it's like changing your activities and your thought patterns are going to get you back, are going to get you on the right track right now. And I think we can start it today. I do, William. Like, I feel like this is a turning point, first of all, that you called in and that we're talking about it. And so right now your life is on track, right? I mean, you're not that kid anymore. You know, you've got a job, you've got friends,
oh, yes, ma'am.
You have a good life.
Yeah.
Right. So everything's going great for you. And so how do you typically like meet people or like, what do you do for fun? What's your life like?
What I do for fun? I train in MMA. So usually at my gym, I meet people there. I barely go out unless it's on Saturday nights, but by weekdays, I go work straight to the gym, home, sleep, rinse, repeat.
What do you do for work?
I'm sorry.
What do you do for work?
Oh, I am a media specialist. I'm a video editor, actually.
You don't meet many people in the world. Yeah, and gay or straight?
Straight.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I feel like this is about a confidence thing, and this is like rewiring those negative things that you're telling yourself and the stories about what you want and what you can't have and who you are. So you are in this different place, and it's experience. It's really just the practice of, I would say, with these invitations and things you get invited to, like we all get like those Facebook invites or people are inviting you to go to like the dinners. Just like start saying yes to those things. Even if you don't have time, I understand that you're training. But if you're going out one night a week, I don't know what you're doing, but make it a night where you're going out to like a place where your friends are around or where you feel comfortable. Because right now you don't have a lot of the experience of just, you know, being in an environment and just walking up to people and talking to them. So if you say yes to these invites to a party or a barbecue where you wouldn't normally go, but you got invited, so you already know people there, and then you show up and you just really just you're yourself and you start talking to people, making friends, making connections. And I think you have to grow your community and your space that you're living in, and then you'll feel more comfortable starting to talk to people. But you just got to start somewhere. And take the pressure off yourself. Like if you could just start saying like, I'm building my life now as a, you know, as a 28-year-old who's got a job, who's healthy, take care of myself. And I'm going to start building this, you know, community of people around me who support me and make me feel good. And I have confidence and you'll start meeting people. That's the first thing. Because I think if you isolate, you're in this pattern, and in your pattern, you're telling yourself you're going home. You're saying, I'm this, you know, dork. I've never had sex. That you got to just start changing your environment. And that'd be one way to do it.
Right. Yeah, I can agree with that. Definitely is. It's just it definitely is easier said than done. But yes,
what if it's just once a week, like one thing? Like it's not a whole. It's like one event. It's one thing differently that you're going to do, right?
Right.
And then when you ask people, like literally, it doesn't have to be a huge date where you're going out. And it's like women don't even need like this whole where you're, you know, making dinner and you're doing this whole thing.
Well,
it could be like
the
coffee
to begin with
at the parties. There
so
are
on
things
Saturday,
happening
Saturday
you.
Night, you go out with your friends to like a bar. What does that look like?
Yes. Usually, every Saturday we go to the local watering hole.
So you see the same people there.
That's
often,
why I said
right?
say yes to things that are not typical to what he's doing already.
And listen, William, I know in your head, you probably think that you're like one of the only people that feels this like nervousness. And, especially with doing new things and walking into a room, how, you wish that, you weren't as nervous as you were like, and everyone else, does a much better job at it. I can tell you that Emily and I are not that much more comfortable than you are when we walk into a room. Everyone's a little bit awkward. Sounds like you probably don't drink, so you don't have that on your side.
No.
But it's a practice that we all have to get through.
You got to practice it. And, you know, you just got to have a swagger and know that like, you're an MMA, training in MMA. I mean, that gives you a whole lot to talk about, especially the ladies are going to like hearing about that stuff. And you have a good job, and I'm sure that you have stories from that. You have plenty of things to talk about. So I don't quite understand why you retreat back to your old self. I mean, we all become different people.
Right.
The question that I have, I guess, is about your depression. Was it clinical depression? Are you being treated for it? Are you on medication?
It was more of a, I don't know how you say, environmental. Depression.
So it sounds like you had a pretty tumultuous,
I was in.
You grew up and this is where you where your intimacy, fears came from probably in the environment.
Exactly.
So, I mean, like we say with almost every call, like really therapy is where you got to really start with this thing.
Most. Right. Yeah. I mean, have you ever had therapy? Such a fan.
Yeah, I mean, I've had counseling before. Yeah, I know I could be considered two different things, but counseling I've gone to over again. I've never been to an actual, like a full-on therapist, a psychiatrist.
You might want to think about looking into
exactly,
that.
Especially if you experienced depression in the past. And a lot of what, I mean, a lot of things that we talk about on the show and in life are really about, like, a lot of our greatest challenges are because of the negative voices in our head, or the stories that we believe about ourselves that are not true and that we keep telling ourselves over and over and over again. And it builds these grooves in our brain, and it's comfortable that you're the ugly duckling. You know, you have these insecurities, you've been depressed, girls don't like you. And that's the story. It's playing and playing and playing. And so I could give you, and I've talked about on the show, there's a lot of different things you can do, and it all sounds very overwhelming, but really there's, you know, people journal. They write down all the negative, you know, these are the negative things I believe, and here's the flip side, the positive. And every morning or every night when you go to bed, you like read that list, and you notice in your brain when you're saying these things to yourself, and you just flip it, and you're like, you're going to say one positive thing, right? You can meditate on it. You can visualize it when you're going to bed at night. You can picture yourself walking into this room where you have the confidence. I mean, there's different exercises, but that's really what it's all about. That's the good news, William. The good news is that your biggest setback right now is coming from you, and it's something that you can control. Like, you've got everything going for you. So it's just I'm trying to have you like put little positive things in place that will help you switch the fabric of, you know, the way that you're thinking and the way you're living your life. So that's why I was saying one day a week, go to do something that you've done before. Get comfortable telling your stories and building your confidence. And I think writing it down does help, like journaling, like positive things about yourself that you feel good about. And you keep reading those messages over again, because eventually in saying them to yourself, they will replace that tape in your head. Okay.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Positive.
Those are the two things. Yep. Positive.
Yeah, positive thinking.
Therapy can help, because if you might still have some kind of depression, because a lot of times it might be something more deep seated here, but you know, it does help to write down all those negative things that you say, and then you flip it and you tailor these messages to, I am a confident, strong, you know, I'm so proud of these things I've accomplished, and this is who I am. That's who you really are. And then when you believe that in every fiber of your being, that's who you're going to be presenting out in the world. So it's not just like, oh, the sun is shining and life is so great. It's like kind of a deeper level positive thinking, if you will. And that's really what's going to work. I promise.
And William, real quick, Emily can probably agree with me here. What we're hearing right now is a confident, happy, easy to talk to person. And I know I talk to people on the phone all the time. And a lot of the time it's like, oh, God, this person, I'm not gonna be able to talk to this person much because they don't really have much to say. And you can tell that they're like nervous or they're like inside their own head.
Yeah.
You're not that guy. You're not that guy.
Yeah, I feel it.
So that's whether you feel like you are that guy, that's not how you come off.
This isn't bullshit here. I'm not, because if there was something else going on, I'd tell you that. I'd be like, well, it sounds like you're really, no, you're a stud. You're the man. And you're the only one who doesn't believe it yet. So let us know how that goes, William. I want you to go answer one of those invites on Facebook or wherever you get invited, things that you didn't think you'd go to. I want you to go to that and just start talking to people. Okay? That's how connections
yes,
are made
ma'am.
In the community.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Do that. Thanks, William. Thanks for calling in. I so appreciate it. Thanks for your honesty.
Bye. Get him. Get him, Will. Just for the sake of time and brevity, I didn't get into his childhood, but I really wanted to know. I wanted to know what kind of abuse it was.
Here's the thing. You know? But we don't, you're right. And here, we can all dwell on our past.
I didn't want to take him back there either, because I could tell how painful
it
was.
You know what? He could deal with that, but we all want to know the whys and the whys, whatever. Our parents did all these things to us. Fine. At some point in life, you know that, you learn that, and you move on.
Right.
You take it, and you're like, you can't blame
your
parents
anymore.
Otherwise,
you're a victim. We got enough victims in the world.
No, victim mentality, don't. Delve back into that. Have an understanding, move forward, make positive steps to have a fulfilled life.
I would never guess that was that guy's problem in talking to him.
Exactly.
Hearing his voice, I mean, he just seemed like a happy, nice, you know, confident guy.
Right. And we all, and you're right though, Anderson, that we are going to go on to another call, but we all do this. And I was sitting here across from you thinking, you know, we've talked about this, Anderson. We both go through this. We'd sit outside Loveline and you were like hard on yourself about your movie and how many get the movie done. And you beat yourself up for being where you're at in life, that you haven't done all these
childhood.
Things.
It's all childhood
right.
shit.
Right. Yeah. And I'm like, Anderson, no, do it. We're doing the movie. And look at you. You've done it. It happened. It's like, but the only thing holding back was those thoughts you had. And I've done it to myself. So sabotaging, we get it. And look where you are. Look where I'm at. It's still
sitting
a struggle.
Across from you.
Love it.
In Hollywood.
Okay. We have Emily. She's 21.
What? Emily?
Another Emily.
I don't know if we can do this. This is good.
One Emily is really intense.
Hi.
Hi, Em. We can call you Em. Emily,
absolutely.
21 from Kentucky. I'm with Anderson.
Hi, Emily, 21 from Kentucky.
And it's good to talk.
Hi.
Emily's are cool chicks. And Emily, thank you for writing in. Thank you for calling in.
Yes.
And
no problem. I'm so excited that you answered.
Yes, here I am.
She's
we want
so
to help
bubbly.
You. I know. You're so bubbly. You seem happy, Em. See, Emily's were good
peeps. I am really happy.
That's good.
My senior year of college, I'm doing great.
Oh, good.
Senior year. I didn't graduate college until I was 29.
Yeah. Stop good for it. You, Em. You're already ahead of the game. So, Em, I'm calling you Em. The question is, you want to know about a threesome. That you actually are interested in a threesome, and your boyfriend, not so much. So tell me what's going on.
Yeah. Okay.
We don't often hear that.
I've been with him for like 3 years, and I basically, in the past year, have started to bring up that I want to have a threesome. And he didn't seem like against it, but he also just seemed like really scared, to be honest. Like, he kind of just got like red in the face and was like, that sounds hot, but oh my God, what? Like, he really was not sure about it.
Is he your age as well?
No, he is 2 years older than me.
Okay, but still 23. So he's still trying to figure out sex with you, probably. And he's like, oh my God, you want to bring another person in? Like, what are we going to do? So it's probably confusing to him and overwhelming, and maybe somewhere it's a fantasy, but not yet.
Let's
and
just
then
make sure
also,
that everything's out on the table. Like, you're talking about bringing a girl in, right? Not a guy?
Yes, and he's aware. Like, I'm bisexual, and, like, I have always been, and he's aware of that. So, like, I guess it's not a huge shock, but I think it still took him off guard.
Right. And does he know, how did you say it? Like, he knows you're bisexual, but you've been together for 3 years. Have you been with women in these last 3 years?
No, I have in high school, like, but not, you know, I haven't had, like, sex with other women. I've just, like, made out and, you know, done stuff at parties, I guess, but it's not been, like...
Was he around when that happened?
A relationship.
Was he around when you made out with was he around when you were making out with these women at parties last 3 years?
No, that was actually, it was before.
Oh, okay, so for 3 years, so here's the thing, you haven't cheated. Oh, sorry, so
your
that
tongue
would be
has stayed in your mouth.
So what you're
right?
saying is you just said to him, hey, babe, so I'd like to have a threesome, and after 3 years, and yes, he knows you're bisexual, but it hasn't come up in 3 years, so he might be feeling, like, threatened, or that he wasn't pleasing you, or, you know, who knows what he was thinking. I'm not sure how you brought it up to him.
Yeah.
What did you say exactly?
I can't remember when the last time I brought it up, but the first time, I mean, when I brought it up, I pretty much just said, like, hey, how would you feel about doing this? Or, like, what do you think about them? Or, like, I think we were watching, what's the show called? We were watching a show on Netflix, and there was, like, a scene with a threesome, and I, like, purposely put it on.
Good.
Because I knew the scene was going
to
be there.
Great way to do it.
What do you think about this?
Where do you stand on the threesome topic? And he was like, okay, and then he got, right, that's a good way to bring it up if you haven't brought it up. I get it. But it sounds like he's gotten kind of nervous about it, so I think you should say to him, listen, I think it would be really hot. I've been, you know, I love having sex with you. It's been amazing these 3 years. And I, you know, I've been with women in the past and I've been fantasizing about it. And I would love to be with a woman and with you, and kind of break it down for him how it would go. Because he's probably never had a threesome, never doesn't know what you want from it. Does he have to be with the other woman? So you guys have to discuss these boundaries and together and, you know, create the rules, the boundaries, how you both visualize it, the goals, your goals, your dreams, your hopes. So he probably just isn't.
Yeah.
And he might say to you, though, you have to be prepared. He might say, you know what? I'm not interested. Like, I don't want you to be with anyone else.
Hey,
no.
Emily?
Yeah.
Emily?
Oh, which Emily?
Yes.
M from Kentucky.
Yeah.
You know you're not going to marry this guy, right?
I don't know. Maybe.
You know that, like, this relationship's going to end probably soon after you're out of college, if not before that, right? You know
that. Why do you think that?
Because, I mean, if you have this threesome, I mean, it's not going to be the guy you marry. You're not going to have a threesome with the guy you marry.
I don't think that's why that's not
going to
be.
Are you going to be able to be cool with him, like, going down on another girl in front of you, or the penetration part? Is that going to freak you out?
I mean, I've never had a threesome before, and I want to say that I would be cool with it, but I don't have a way of knowing how I would react.
Right.
I think that whether you realize it or not, like, you're kind of you know that your college experience is kind of winding down. You know that you're probably going to graduate college, move on, and you want to kind of put a bow on this relationship. And I think that's where this is coming from.
I don't know. Okay, Emily, is that true?
I don't know if you know it.
No, I love him very much. I don't want to leave him or anything like that.
Okay.
But
I know what you're saying, Anderson. No, here's the thing.
I get it.
Subject we've got to talk about.
This happened to me a number of times.
Okay.
And every time it was at the end of the relationship.
I get it. And you're right. This is a pattern that's made. But I heard Emily's response to that, and I wanted to check with her to see if it was just like a defensive thing. But no, Emily loves him. Mm-hmm. She wants to be with him. She wants to expand their sexual repertoire, their experiences together, as a lot of long-term couples do. And so I think that it's a matter of, and we don't know what's going to happen in their
she's
relationship.
Huge risk here, because when you open Pandora's box,
well, that's
with
why
a threesome,
I think she needs
God
more
knows.
Thought. Well, no, I like that you
like
brought
he might
it
not
up.
Be able to have sex with you anymore unless there's another vagina in the room. Like that is a possibility. Like he might get so into it that it's just like
there's a lot of risks.
New strange. We've talked every a lot.
I mean, there's a lot of things that could happen. It's true that threesomes is not just something you do to spice up your sex life. It's like having a baby. You're like, let's have a baby and things will be better. Let's have.
We
a threesome.
Heard a call on Loveline years ago where a girl wanted a threesome really badly with her boyfriend, and they used her friend, her really good friend, and as soon as her boyfriend started having sex with her friend, she punched her boyfriend right in the nose because it was so shocking and upsetting to her. Once it actually happened, she wasn't prepared for it, and she broke his nose like while he was having sex with her friend. Like,
oh my God,
you got to really be prepared. Yeah, you're still young.
Well, this can be the way you can figure it out is a lot of couples, you know, you don't have to jump. First of all, you do have to talk about it. You do have to set, like, is there going to be penetration? How are you going to find the third person? You guys aren't even really there yet. But if, let's say, he does agree to it, then there are some. You know, there is that process of talking through what's, you know, protection and how to find the person. But right now, I think if you want to revisit this, like I said, with your boyfriend in a way that's just giving him a little more information and having more discussion about it, because I don't think he's totally shutting it down. Again, he can't really visualize and explain it. You got to say, listen, I think it'd be hot. I'm not really sure how it would look, but how would you feel if I was with a woman and you were there in the room, and would you want to have sex with her? You know, you guys just got to talk about it in more detail. And so he can picture it, because I think he probably just didn't know where it was coming from, and he might have felt like inadequate. Maybe.
Yeah, if he's an insecure guy, he's immediately thinking, oh, what am I doing wrong? Am I not doing it right? You know, but worst case scenario for him is he says no, and then you guys do end up breaking up. And, you know, I'm telling you, 20 years from now, he's going to be thinking of what could have been.
How's your sex life right now, Em?
Oh, it's great. It's fine. It's always been ever since the first time we ever had sex.
That's amazing. I'm happy for you. That's really cool. That's great. So you're having great sex with him. So it sounds like if you guys are having great sex, you're probably really good communicators. He understands your body. You're getting your needs met. So I feel like you just got to have a really honest conversation with him about what the threesome really meant and why you're thinking about it. And you guys will be good. Keep talking. And don't jump into it. And Anderson,
and not every guy is cut out for this. Not every guy can handle the threesome.
And here's the other thing, sweetie. If he says, I'm not into it, you're not going to convince him. Just like I tell men all the time who are like, why won't my girlfriend do it? You're never going to convince her unless she really wants to.
And so, Emily, would you be okay if he said not into it and you like end up with this guy and you can never ever hook up with a girl again? Is that something you could live with?
No, probably not.
Okay, so these are the questions you're going to get answered now through this conversation, Em. So I think it's great it came up, because I think it's going to have you thinking about your relationship long term and what you really want. Because you're 21, you're still trying to figure it out. You don't have as much experience dating. You know, you just don't. Like, it's been 3 years with him. So I think this is a great time for you to kind of really think about what you want, what turns you on, your values, how you picture your relationship and everything unfolding the next few years.
Good luck,
okay,
Em.
That's really smart. Yeah. I never thought about that.
Yeah, think about it. It's good. We got to evaluate all this stuff in our lives. You know, jobs, you're graduating from college, where you want to live, and your relationship. So it's a good time to do it. Okay, Em, let me know how it goes.
Good
Thanks
luck,
for
Em.
Calling
Break
in.
Up
so
with
happy
them
to
lightly.
Talk to you.
Be no. careful with them.
Stop
and
so
Anderson.
For talking.
Bye. Of course. Have a great day. Bye. Our next call is Laura. She's 21 from Nevada, and she wants to talk about fantasies versus her morals. Hi, Laura. I'm here with Anderson, and we are here for you. Tell us what's going on.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. We are here for you. So, Anderson, get your email. So, tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Okay. Well, first of all, like, thank you so much for having me on your show.
You're so
I'm
welcome.
Really excited. My question has to do with, okay, so I explained in my message that when I was younger and like just starting to have like fantasies and sort of sexual thoughts was like, I used to feel really guilty about it. And that was something that like my mom like always worked through with me, which I was really lucky about. But now I'm like an adult and like I love fantasizing and everything. So I've started to wonder, like, as I've become more daring with my fantasies and like sort of played with like the forbidden and like things in real life I would feel really guilty about, but in my own fantasy life are kind of fun and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I started to wonder what I felt now and then. I'll feel guilty about those fantasies,
right.
Even though like
Laurel,
okay.
Even though they're not like
they're totally
on reality.
Right.
Could
I'm kind
I
of
hear
wondering like what you
one
consider.
Fantasy. What are the
like,
fantasies?
The moral line.
Right. Right. I get it. I get where you're going with this. Anderson,
what are some
dying
examples? Just give one example of like the one that you're most ashamed of. How about that?
I'm most ashamed of? Oh, God, I don't know.
Anderson, that's not what we're going right
okay,
now.
How about a middle one?
Like,
we have to figure
okay,
out where.
An example, but yeah.
Give an example.
Yeah, okay, like an example would be like, I'm a teacher, and like, I'm not actually a teacher, but like in my, you know, fantasy, I'm a teacher, and right. Like, or I'm a student, like my, yeah, like I'm a student, and my teacher like wants to like you know, fuck me. And I'm like, and in my mind, like, it's sexy, not just because I'm, you know, like, that fantasy's pretty classic, like, student wants yeah. the teacher, but, like, sort of the sexy part is that, like, the teacher wants me, and that's, like,
right,
you want to give in to that, like,
exactly.
forbidden desire, you know? But, like, also, I feel kind of guilty about it, because there's a whole age thing, and, like, society that's sort of frowned right. upon, like, breaking age barriers.
Exactly. So here's the thing. Well, you talked about when you were younger. Let's just go back to that real quickly so I clarify this. You said when you were younger, your mom talked to you about your feelings of shame around sex, and she helped yeah. you work through it.
Dude, would you go to your mom and say, hey, mom, I have these fantasies about banging teachers? And she'd be like, it's okay, honey.
Well, you know what? Like, I was so confused about, like, I think everyone at my age in puberty was sort of having the same feeling, but I really didn't understand. I was really confused about it, and so my mom and I have such an open relationship. I eased into it, but I sort of did approach her with.
And how did, and what did she tell you?
Like, the coolest person ever.
Yeah, that's awesome. And she said, and hopefully she explained to you, which is what I'm going to tell you, is that there is a difference between the fantasies that you actually want to happen and then the fantasies that you just have, you keep to yourself, but they turn you on and they make you feel good. And
right.
and it's actually really, really healthy.
Healthy. Very
I have to
healthy.
Tell you, Laura, that the women mm-hmm. who have robust, active, you know, textured fantasy lives are have better sex throughout their lifetime. And some women can't yeah. even come up with a thought. They
right.
can't even think about it.
Because
and I work with women
person,
all.
Right?
Yeah. And I'm telling you that it's not, you're not doing anything wrong. There's no sex police that's going to come and knock on your door and get you, throw you in some kind of sex dungeon in case you want that kind of thing to happen in your fantasy. Mm-hmm. But really, it's all healthy and it's okay. And you're 21 years old and you're figuring out your sexuality right now and what turns you on. And I think it's great, actually, that you are experimenting with these things and figuring out what you like. And the reason why this can be helpful is because, well, for so many things, but it's so important to know your body and to masturbate. And when you're having sex, you'll be more likely to ask for what you want and have orgasms or whatever your goals are. But the reason why it's also yeah. important is because what you could learn from these fantasies, let's say the ones that you don't necessarily even want to happen, is that you're like, oh, but I really like feeling adored or feeling like I want my partner, you
chosen.
Know, my partner. Yeah. And the chosen one, and that my partner, you know, has this unbridled desire for me and he has to have me and take me right now, which is a really common female fantasy. So maybe when you're with a partner, eventually you'd be like, oh, well, let's do a little role playing. And, you know, and you could role play the teacher student thing. And that's completely healthy as well. You know, it's not like you want that to happen, but you might want to bring that into your relationship. Couples do it all the time.
Okay.
And I think you'll just know it and that will turn you on. And that's totally, again, it's all healthy and fine. And I'm glad that I think that this call is actually going to help a lot of listeners who still carry shame
yeah.
around
yeah.
and judgment around what they think about, what turns them on. Like, I'm just so glad that people are having these, are having thoughts and having good sex.
Laurel
life.
Sounds like she's a thinker and she's probably morally sensitive, it sounds like,
mm-hmm.
right? And let me tell you this,
yeah.
Laurel, whatever fantasy you have, and I feel like you kind of gave us a softball with the teacher scenario. I'm
right.
sure that... she started out with
Thank
she
you
was
for
a
giving
teacher.
That to Anderson.
She was the teacher and she was going after the students. That's where she started. So maybe that is one of her fantasies.
It doesn't
Let
matter.
Me tell you this, no matter, and I do this all the time because I think horrible thoughts sometimes and I write horrible things down because I'm a writer and I think of just awful scenarios for human beings to be in that I hope to make movies out of one day. And I feel guilty about these sometimes. And I can tell you that anything that you think of, anything that you dream up has not only been thought about by other people, but acted on by other people. So you're fine. All right. Don't worry about it. You're human and you're a creative person, obviously, and like Emily said, it's very healthy. And don't feel I don't know if you have any idea what guys look at on the internet, but most guys, at least once a week, turn off their internet in total shame and guilt after what they just looked at. Okay,
yeah, I've heard.
Yeah. They do. So it's like, you know, and
I prayed
really
for some girls after I'm done. I'm like, oh my god, that poor girl. What was I just watching?
Exactly. But yeah? but this is the
right.
these are the unhealthy reactions that a lot of us have to sex that prevent us from having really healthy. Great sex lives that we all like are so hard on ourselves. So just know that you have my permission, you have your mom's permission, Anderson's permission to have these fantasies and to
yeah.
do you. Okay.
My mom You're, and Anderson.
Yeah. And myself.
Love it.
It's not religious based, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like her moral compass is all because of religion, because that's a little bit more stringent and rigid and hard to, you know, if you're having guilt
well,
to the point you think you're going to hell.
Wherever it came
yeah,
from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I totally think that's where, like, some of this...
I'm sure it started
Even though my family was never religious, like super religious...
You could have heard something at a young age.
For a while, yeah. And I think that's where it comes from.
Yeah, we all we all carry this stuff around. So
imagine
it's time
to the
let
poor
go.
Gay guys that think they're going to hell, and every single Sunday they have really? To be in the Catholic Church looking at, like, a really ripped, sexy Jesus on a cross. Those thoughts that are going through their head, those guys are the guys that, you know, have the guilt. You're fine. You're good.
Oh, my God. Totally you should see some of the Jesus statues I've seen in Spain.
He's good looking, right?
Oh,
right.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's so funny. Okay. We're all good here then.
We had a conversation, and we agreed it was cool when I admired those statues.
Oh, you had a conversation with Jesus? If Jesus is cool, we got Jesus.
So you got your mom, you got Anderson and Jesus. We're all signing
Dude,
off.
We're all good, Laura. This is a good turning point for you in your life. Thank cool. you, Laura. Thank awesome you. To talk to you. Good luck with you.
Good luck, Laura.
Bye.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon. I think that call was great with Laura. I think that so many people have shame and judgment and fears and worries around sex. Again, that is holding them back, whether it's our thoughts around that we're not good people or that we're fantasizing about Jesus. I just want everyone to go easy on themselves. Okay, let's take another call. Okay, we've got Cameron. She's 26 from Atlanta, and she's got unwanted slippage during sex. Hi, Cameron. I'm here with Anderson.
Hi, Cameron.
Tell us what's going on with the slippage.
Okay, so it's happened with a couple of different partners, but pretty much what will happen is whenever I'm on top, because my body tends to over-lubricate itself, if I even raise too high, it'll slip right out.
Okay.
It's dangerous. It's very dangerous.
Yeah, it can be really painful for the other person.
You can break his penis.
No.
No, you absolutely can't.
You can't.
Don't want to?
Yeah.
No, right, you don't want to. But you're saying, okay, wait, so you slip out. So every time you're on top, what about when you're on the bottom?
It hadn't happened like that yet.
Okay. So are you curious, but do you have orgasms when you're on top? Do you just prefer being in? Are you just okay? So how can I help you? Do you want to know how to be on top and have not slip, or do you just in all positions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, honestly, because it's like if I'm on bottom, then they have more control and they can, I guess, determine the depths in which they're going. But when I'm on top, then I'm in control. I have an issue, I guess, with raising myself too high and it just flops out.
Right. Okay. That can happen because I think that what we see also in porn a lot is that women are bouncing up and down when they're on top. Mm-hmm. Right. And that typically is not what's going to work for a lot of women. You know, you probably want more of like a thrusting technique where you're when you're on top and let's say you're in cowgirl and you like lay down with you. Have you tried to lay down with lean forward like a 90 degree angle? So you're leaning more towards him and you're kind of doing like more of an up and down motion. And then you're doing like not up and down, a back and forth.
Laying down, then it's just more like an intense grinding, and then we end up sore.
Okay. You end up sore. What if you're lying? Okay, so what if it's a 90-degree angle, though, and you're, like, leaning over him, and you're moving slowly, like, up and down while you're, like, you know what I'm saying? While you're curved over him, while you're lean over him. Mm-hmm. And you're sliding up, but it's slower. It's not, like, a fast, and it's a slower motion. So it's not the grinding. It's still moving up and down, but you're leaning forward so he can't slip out. And you could even have your head on his chest, you know?
Yeah, I guess I could try that.
Yeah, that can definitely work. And then if you're doing reverse cowgirl, that's a good one. You can lie back towards his chest. So when you're in reverse cowgirl and you're facing, so you're facing out, if you are laying back, you can easily move your body up and down. And it's not so much of the, and you're leaning back. So he's, you don't understand. It's so hard to explain the position.
But don't take the cowgirl literally. I mean, you should not be like bucking Bronco on top.
Exactly.
You should be more controlled and slow. And I think Emily's right with the porns. They're always going haywire when you
doesn't
see
even
that.
Feel good. I don't. Yeah. It's I just do. I'm like, oh, is this the part where they want me to bounce?
Their organs
down? No,
must
it
be getting sloshed
good.
About.
Exactly.
You know?
And that would hurt. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and it's not really about the shape of a guy's penis, because I think people are listening going, well, maybe he's really small or maybe he's big. It's typically not about that. It's
could be the way that it's pointing.
It could be
though,
curved.
Too,
does his penis curve?
No, it doesn't have any curve to it.
Okay. Well, slippage happens to everybody. It does happen. It happens all. I mean, I'd say it's a pretty frequent occurrence. It slips out and you put it back in. But I also think that in these positions, you could also stimulate your clitoris if you use toys. Do you use toys or anything like that? Your fingers, your hands.
Yeah, I have to use some sort of toy in order to reach orgasm.
Great. So I think that it's just a matter of leaning forward, leaning back when you're on top, and then using that toy. And then just not doing the up and down and doing more of the thrusting, the grinding, but not as hard
does it
as a grind.
Feel better for you when you're going up and down like real fast and getting it all the way, you know, out, in, or is it actually better once it's in there and then you just kind of like do the moving around? I know you say that it gets, you chafe yourself sometimes, but are you doing it for him or are you doing it for her, for yourself?
Yeah, good question.
Well, I do it more for me.
Okay.
I honestly don't focus on their needs as much.
Good. No,
to be honest,
that's a great question.
In the end, but,
so you're saying you feel really...
I'm on top and doing it for me.
So when you're on top and you're going up and down, it actually feels good because that's where his penis is hitting like your G-spot. It's not about the clitoris. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have one, but I would think that like once you're in there and it's kind of like touching the G-spot, you can kind of like writhe around a little bit, right? Or do you got to get the hammer? You got to get the hammer
I would also say do your Kegel exercises. I think Kegels, this is so important. I'm telling you, do you ever do your
Emily
Kegel
can
exercises?
Emily be doing cowgirl and she can stand up and hold the
literally,
guy.
Literally, I rip him out of bed with my
Kegel
exercises.
She can go to the kitchen while he's still connected to her. Yeah.
Yeah.
She has to walk like a crab.
No, but I'm telling you, if you have more pelvic floor strength, and the great thing about doing your Kegels is that you could just do them every day for 5 minutes for like a few weeks and you will absolutely feel a difference, and then you'll be able to clench those muscles, and that would that will help. That will reduce the slippage.
Why didn't we think Kegel earlier?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's right there.
Because we're both a little slow today. No, but I have an iPhone app called Kegel Camp that can help you remind you to do them. There's also some great. I love Kegel balls. Like you can just wear them around when you're working out. Yeah, they're like Benoit balls. Who makes the Kegel balls that we did? Nike, FT London. FT London has great Kegel balls. What are they called? The balls? FT. Oh, they're so cool. They're these balls that you wear in your vagina.
Do they make little jingling sounds?
No, That'd be cool. It connects to an app and it measures your strength. The geisha balls. They're the geisha balls. Wow. And they literally, you can see over time, track it like a Fitbit, but it's like for your vagina muscles. And you're like, oh, I can, it's stronger. So anyway, I think that would help too. And I also
think. Is it called a Clip-It?
No, a Clip-It. Huh? That's funny. No. Anyway, you can just do them on your own though. You don't need anything fancy. That will help Cameron. And I think that just experiment also with him being on top too. Like if that's what you need, you can figure out a way to get that same kind of thrusting either when you're on top or maybe when he's on top of you in missionary. You can put pillows underneath you that lifts up your pelvis as well.
Or just eight black guys. Let's go on to the next call.
Hey, stop. Okay, Cameron, thank you very much for calling Anderson. It's not about size. It's about slippage. Be, yeah. Cameron, so play with some of those positions and you're gonna figure it out. You're gonna get into your groove. Promise.
All right, awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a great day. Bye. Dude.
Sorry.
It's not about and I don't even know what you meant by that. Black men.
Oh, stop it. Stop being so sensitive. You know what? I do think that because I know that sometimes when I'm on your show, you get emails about dumb things that I've said. And I do want to maybe it's not too late.
You want to address all the dumb things you said? This would be a very
well,
long show.
We don't have that kind of time, Em. But just going back to the gay guys in church when they're confused about the sexuality and this and that. That is a real thing, though. And I'm sure that happens. And what I was saying is imagine those poor guys, what kind of guilt they're going through. I'm not saying that they should be guilty. I'm just saying I was comparing
it was
an extreme.
Example. Right. It was an extreme example.
And I've thought that a lot, Em. I've thought like, you know, because I know how I was when I was like, you know, 11, 12 years old, first figuring out sex. And if I was attracted to men and I had to go to church, like I imagine like what if like a large breasted woman was hanging up there half clothed? Like I would absolutely have those thoughts run through my head.
I'm sure a lot of kids do. And aren't there like, you know, you see the naked imagery.
And he's got like a six pack. He's ripped.
I know. And people are always, I know. And that's when it starts at a very young age. It's very confusing messages when you're a young kid and you're hearing that sex is bad, but you start having these thoughts and nobody explains it to you your entire life. And then you're 22 years old calling in to talk to us and we're helping you move through it.
Anyone who misconstrued that is me saying they should be guilty. I was not saying
we're saying
that
you're
all.
Not. We're just saying it could be a lot worse.
Yes.
Guilt. Although guilt is good.
And I was also
guilt.
Saying definitely date black guys. I did say that.
Dude.
No apologies.
I'm not even going to entertain this. Okay. So, our next call is Alyssa. She's 24 from Oregon. Oregon. I used to say Oregon when I was a kid. Oregon. Oregon? Alyssa, hi. And Alyssa's emailing is about two submissives in the relationship. What to do about it? Hi, Alyssa. I'm here with Anderson.
Hi,
we are
Alyssa.
Here to serve you.
How's Oregon?
Hi. Oregon. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're so welcome. We are here for you in Oregon. Excited to talk to you. We're in California.
Two submissives. So what's up?
So, basically, my partner and I are trying to add some kinky stuff to our relationship. We have really great sex already, but we want to try some new things. And he really wants me to dominate him, but I've never done it before. And I don't know what to do. It, like, kind of scares me. I feel like, you know, sometimes I sound really fake if I try to do it. And I don't even know what to say or, like, where to start.
I got it.
So, I'm kind of looking for tips on, like, how to present myself in a more dominating way and like not just turn to nervous giggles and give up.
All right. That's a great question. I love this question because first of all, you will be nervous and you will giggle and it might feel uncomfortable at first. And that's okay. Cause that's what happens whenever we try something new sexually. So I can't tell you how to do anything where you might not feel uncomfortable the first time you try it. So just know that's acceptable and it's worth it. Because this is how we get make our sexual fantasies and dreams come true. If you push through the hard stuff. So when he says to you, or when you think about, you know, he wants to be dominated, do you know what that means to your boyfriend? Like, has he said, like, God, I picture you tying me up or spanking me or telling me to fold your laundry? Like, do you know?
I think definitely like, pick up my dry cleaning. Up, like, handcuffs or rope would be really cool. I think he's interested in spanking. He's showed me some porn that he's watched.
Oh, good.
That's kind of like, you could do this, but I'm not even sure how to act like the women, you know?
Right. Okay. What, Anderson?
No, I think that something that would really help, this is real advice, and this is immediately what came to my head, okay. was a piece of uniform, something you put on that helps you become the part. I know with acting a lot of the time, it takes like a certain, jacket or a, I'm not saying put on a Hitler mustache or anything like that. However, that could possibly work. But like you put on like a certain like shoes, maybe stilettos or something, and you will become the part. It will help you transform for sure and not feel silly. It's like almost like you're becoming a different person. You're acting.
That's one thing, like a role playing. Like, yeah, if there's something that makes you feel really sexy, like do you like getting dressed up on Halloween?
You know?
Do you like getting dressed up? Are you one of the women who like to kind of wear something sexy on Halloween? Or is there something that makes you feel particularly sexy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I actually really like lingerie, and I usually go towards more like feminine lacy things.
Okay. But that's okay.
Maybe something...
It could still be the feminine lacy thing. And that, see, okay, this is what I want. Anderson, I like what you're saying. I like your point. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. So I want you to feel turned on and sexy and like you want sex, right?
But what makes her turned on? It might be like getting taken advantage of or like, you know, being like, not taken advantage of, but being overwhelmed and dominated herself. So if she gets herself in that headspace, there she is like a little doe waiting to get the sex the way that she likes it, which is to be dominated because they're both submissives.
Right. But I'm saying...
Oh, God, can you imagine? Where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? It would take forever.
Is that what happens in your relationship? No. But here's the thing. Getting yourself in the mood, I understand that you're... But... She can get in the mood. You can masturbate. You can think about sex when you wear, I don't know, for me, when I'm wearing like something that makes me feel sexy, lingerie or a great outfit, or I light the candles and I set the mood, it gets me in the mood. So you want to make sure that you're setting the stage for being in the mood. So even if it is lingerie, I wouldn't say you have to go out and buy like a dominatrix outfit. But what I would say is that let's start with the fact that he wants to be tied up. That's what we know. And that's actually a really easy place to start with domination. Because what you can do is you can use, you know, and blindfolded. I like to say the blindfold and the handcuffs is like step number one, and we can make it pretty easy for you. And you still might laugh and giggle again, but that's okay. So you could use something you have at home, like a necktie. I always say, like, just buy the sport sheets. I'm obsessed with their stuff because it's beginner bondage. Well, they have stuff that's more advanced, but it's all Velcro. So it's like literally like handcuffs that Velcro together. They're the easiest things in the world to use. And then there's like Velcro, you know, blindfolds. And they have a beginner bondage kit and you can get that. It's on my website.
Yeah, you know, I actually already have some of the sport sheet
Perfect.
Velcro cuffs.
Okay.
And I just like, I feel like sometimes I get them out and then I get stuck and I don't know where to go next.
So this is the next step. Okay, perfect. This is exactly what we're going to do. So what you're going to do is the next time, do you guys live together?
No.
Okay. So does he come to you? So the next time he comes over your house, this is what I want you to do. Do you guys have plans coming up this weekend? Does he come to your house or you go to his house? How does it work?
He goes to my house. Sometimes when we're trying to like set a mood, we'll get a hotel room.
Okay. Yeah, you could do actually a hotel room would be great. Huge fan of spicing things up in a hotel room and mixing up your location. Wherever you are, I want you to get the handcuffs out and take a picture of them. Maybe you're holding it. Do you ever send him like sexy photos of yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I want you to, because then you're going to commit yourself to this. Take out the handcuffs and put like, you could do a sexy picture with it. Have it hooked up on the bed or have one around your wrist and say tonight, like when I see you next time, we're using this, right? Or just send him a picture of it and say, thinking about seeing you next time. So they're already out or tonight, can't wait for tonight, right? And then when he gets to your house, you're going to have them already out, ready to go. You're going to have candles lit. You're going to have music. You're going to be wearing your sexy lingerie, the thing that makes you feel like the badass, sexy woman that you are, Alyssa. And then there's nothing you can do, but you say, come over here, come to the bed, and you're going to put a blindfold on him, and you're going to wrap the handcuffs around him, and you're just going to start to kiss him, massage him. You're going to start to have some things by the bed, like some sensory play things. I think you could have, go to the kitchen and you could have a bowl of ice cubes. And you can also have like a warm massage candle and you can play with different sensations. So you could like put some ice on him. You could, you know, you could spank him if you want. You could do whatever you want. You could rub your breasts over him. I mean, just, he won't know what's happening next because he's got the blindfold on. And whenever we take away one sense, all of our other senses become more heightened. So no matter what you do, it's going to feel amazing. And there you have taken control and he can let go. And that's what we're really talking about, is that I don't know that he necessarily wants you to go in and start, like, you know, spanking. But right now you just took control of the sexual situation, and then see how it goes. How does that feel to you? How does that feel to you?
And a lot of it is not, is doing nothing too. A lot of it is going to be withholding. So, you know, doing, teasing, like not giving him what he wants. Yeah, teasing.
Like not going right for his penis. So maybe you're massaging his, like using your fingers on his legs, but you're not touching his genitals. Is that what you're saying?
Little, give him a little, and then, you know, or edging, you know, you take him close, and then you don't take him all the way until you're ready to take him all the way. And you might really like it. There's a chance that, you know, you're going to explore and find a side of yourself you didn't know was even there, and you might really like it. So give it a shot. But I still think, like, even just putting on maybe like a button-up like dress shirt or something, you know, unbuttoned, but like a men's shirt with a collar or something.
Yeah.
No, just some kind of something that would make you feel, get into the mood a little bit.
Of being the dominant. Whatever it is. Because I'm talking about just getting the handcuffs on and whatever gets you in the mood. It could be a dominant, it could be a shirt, it could be...
A lot of the time, you know, a prop will help you, like, or a piece of costume will definitely help you transform.
Yeah, I like it. So set the atmosphere. And then once you got him tied up, really, you could be like, don't open your eyes, or don't, you can't use your hands. You can't touch me. I'm in charge. Like, just say things like that. Like, you can't do anything. Don't talk.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Like, seriously, like, don't talk. Don't touch me. Don't try to escape. You know, like, just, you don't know what's happening next. Like, I won't stop. You know, don't come. I'm not touching you. You know, just play with those things. But I don't want to give you too much to do, because I don't want you to get caught up in a script, because I think it's all going to come naturally to you. But once you've got him there where you want him, you've already the hard work.
First time out, you can even be completely silent. You know, that's could work.
True. Yeah, tease him. Play music.
And maybe only just say shut up every time he says anything. Shut up. And then you just, you know, you're doing all the work, but that could eliminate, you know, your giggling. It sounds like as soon as you hear your own voice not being yourself, it gets you out of your head and you start laughing. Yeah. So maybe you just do, maybe the first round is you're mute. You're quiet.
Yeah. Have music playing. Yeah.
Hard metal. I think
you got this. You already have the handcuffs. So I feel like, because you're talking about getting over that hump, you already bought them, but it's like, when does it happen? It happens when you tell them ahead of time that's happening that night, so you can't get out of it. You've already been thinking about it. You got them in the mood and you're ready to go. And don't be too hard on yourself and have fun. And I love that you're exploring and expanding and trying something new with him. It's awesome. Let me know how it goes, Alyssa.
Yes, I will. Thank you, Emily.
Bye.
And thanks, Anderson.
Good luck, Alyssa.
So welcome. You got this, girl. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Careful of his balls.
Right. Yeah. Unless he's into that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. That was awesome. That's good. I feel like it's so true that people want to make these little tiny changes, and then it's just like, but where do I start?
Right.
You just got to do it. It's literally like ripping a band-aid off. Set him in the picture. You've already committed.
They both want to do it. So that's
half. They both want to do it.
Where you get in trouble is if one's really into it and the other one's like, can't we just missionary it like we do every night? Leave me alone.
Right. That's the thing. They're both in the same place. And I like that they watch porn together. I kind of like cut her off with that. But for a lot of couples, that's a great tool. They can be like, oh, can you try this?
Right.
But she's saying he did that, and she was like, I don't know how to do that. So it can be overwhelming, and that's why I say couples, you got to keep getting more granular with it.
Right.
I'm showing you with my hands here. That you could
baby steps.
Baby steps. But also, if he's like, I like this scene, and you don't get it, you could be like, well, which part of it? Did you like the part where she peed on him? Or no, just the spanking part?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? You got to get more specific.
Right.
Got it. Love it. Okay, Anderson, great to see you.
Good to see you, Em. Always a good to see you. Well, good to see you. I miss you. I really do. I don't miss much about Loveline, but I do miss the calls, and I miss you. And
I know,
you delivered on both.
I'm
today,
delivering
so
both,
that.
And I had lunch for you.
And you gave me lunch. That's right.
I know. Amazing that I had food.
Thank
I provided.
Thank you very much.
I'm so happy to see you too. And
I'm still doing the film vault and the after disaster.
Check
film
out his
vault
podcast.
After disaster. Cinematics once a week. Only once a month. We're down
people
to
love
month.
Your podcasts. They're Cinematics. Great. Check them out. AndersonCowan.com.
Yeah, that's right.
You talk to them on the phone.
.com. This summer only is the only time that I think I'm going to make myself available to be able to answer any questions you might have or talk
to
about whatever
advice?
You like.
I'm afraid.
Actually, I talked to a guy from Australia.
Are you giving advice? Okay.
I talked to a guy from Australia who has an idea for a movie, and we talked for over an hour. I just workshopped it. It was really great.
That's
it was
really
so much
cool.
Fun.
God, Anderson. Yeah. I love it. You guys get calls with Anderson.
Calls chats with Andy. I say Andy just because it's a little more.
I like Andy. It's more cash. It's more like your alter ego.
Yeah, my
I
wife calls me Andy, right?
Yeah. I love it. Okay, well, thank you, Anderson. Thank you to everybody. Thanks to the callers. This is fun, you guys. If you do want to call into the show, you know the way that you send me an email. So you go to the website, sexwithemily.com, or you text to 797979.
That's right.
Ask Emily one word. You'll get the form that you fill out, and you can also check the box that says, yes, I would like to be called, and then we will call you, and we will have a chat. and it feels so good.
And it's free.
It's free, free, free advice, free therapy. Thanks everybody for listening and for following me on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's all at Sex with Emily. I love you. Thanks to my amazing team. Thank you everyone for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.